So this morning, I'm continuing this sermon series on God Speaks, and I felt like I need to say before I preach about dreams today that, you know, I'm preaching this series on God Speaks, and it's really for one main purpose, is that I believe in this life there is nothing more important than being able to hear God's voice. You guys agree with that? There's nothing. I mean, somebody might say, well, salvation. Well, you can't get saved if you don't hear God's voice, right? So there's nothing in our lives that is more important than hearing God's voice. And so that's part of why I'm taking this time to go through different ways that we hear God's voice. And so when you consider dreams, right, scientists will say that everybody dreams every night. How many of you guys dream? Right? We all do. It's just how many of them do we remember. And there's times where I wake up and it's like, I had an amazing, very detailed, very vivid dream and I already can't remember it. I know that I had it, but I forgot it already, right? And so we have that happen. We have dreams that are very unrealistic, you know, like we're flying or whatever. And you have dreams that are pretty realistic, like your spouse did something to you and you wake up and you're mad at them because like you believe that it was real. Right? And like, I didn't do anything. Like, what are you hitting me for? Not that Christy hits me very much, but just when she has those kinds of dreams. But you can have dreams about the past. You can have dreams about your present, dreams about your future. There's a lot of variables that go into dreams. And a lot of times our dreams can be made up of experiences that we even had the day before. Right? So if me and Bud are hanging out on a Saturday morning, working on something, doing some kind of project, and then I go to Taco Bell for lunch, and then I watch some kind of crime drama when I go to bed. I mean, I could very well have a dream about me and Bud working for the NYPD, and we're trying to solve the case of the Taco Bell burglar, right? I mean, it's like that stuff really happens, right? Can you guys testify to that? You're like, that is a really bizarre dream, and it's like, and sometimes it's just that I thought about a person the day before, you know? And so this week, I actually had two dreams about Jake. We've been friends for a long time, and two dreams about Jake. And so I texted him, and I said, Jake, you are literally the man of my dreams, right? Because twice in one week, I figure there's got to be something to that. And, you know, so when we think about these dreams, these some are crazy, some make sense. We just don't really know much about our dreams oftentimes, but when we have these realistic dreams, right, we can kind of, you know, this kind of makes sense to us a lot of times, but how about those dreams that make no sense? How about those dreams where you wake up and like, I don't know what that was. I can't really tie it to anything that I did yesterday. It doesn't seem like it's realistic, but it's just a strange dream, like it's got to mean something. Right? You guys have those where you're like, man, I would love to know the meaning of this dream. What is this? And I would like to propose to you this morning that it's possible, probably even likely, that God is trying to speak to you through dreams. And before you guys, anybody checks out on me, this is going to be Bible-based, okay? We do Bible-based preaching at Connection Church. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says this, "And it shall come to pass in these last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams, shall dream dreams." So if you don't know where this is coming from, this was Peter at Pentecost, okay? Right after the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the upper room and they began to speak in other tongues, and he's sharing this prophetic word that's found in Joel chapter 2, when Joel would share this about the future, which was this day, Pentecost. And as Peter is sharing this, he's sharing this because he's trying to tell people what's going on. This is the moment here. This is what Joel had spoke of. We're experiencing that right now, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days." When are the last days? Anybody know? Right now. Right? The last days are from the moment that Christ ascended to heaven until he returns for his bride and to judge the nations. Right? These are the last days. I know that there's people that they're like, well, man, they've been saying it's the last days since Jesus left. Yes, they have, but it's still the last days, right? It is. That's the season that we are in right now, is the last days. And so I want you to know that this is not a preacher exaggeration when you hear it's the last days. It literally, biblically, realistically, it is the last days. And he says, in those days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. They'll prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And so I don't want you to focus on those groups. I don't want you to focus on what are sons and daughters doing, what are young men and old men do, because right now there's several of us in this room that you're kind of on that line. Am I a young man or am I an old man? And you don't want to leave that up to interpretation for somebody else. Dustin informed me and Jason the other day that we are old men. We greatly disagree with that because he's approaching 40, getting close to being old, and the rest of us, most of the rest of the men in this room we're over 40, and we're going to beat you up after the service today for that. But no, we don't. It's not about if you're a son or a daughter. It's not about if you're a young man or an old man. Joel's not trying to draw this differentiation between groups of people with this. What he's trying to do is paint a picture, right? The Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will have vision. Old men will have dreams. He's just showing that the Spirit is going to work in all people, right? In all ways. And so it's really about how the Spirit draws us, the church, together for ministry. He draws us together to do the work of the kingdom of God for the glory of God. So there will be prophecy, right? Prophecy is great because prophecy is this ability to speak forth divine inspirations. It's this ability to speak God's truth. And I want to tell you that every believer can prophesy. Amen? Every believer can prophesy. A lot of times we don't, the best prophecy is the ones that are not labeled as prophecy. It's not the person that comes up and says, I have a prophetic word to share, thus says the Lord. Like, that's not how prophecy works most of the time in the New Testament church. If you guys, a lot of you remember, like, when Skylar gave a prophetic word, like, last year about rise up, you know, what Cheryl shared today from up here could be a prophetic word. What Christy shares sometimes, what Jason speaks in between songs can be a prophetic word. A lot of these things that we don't label as prophecy can be prophecy. So it's just speaking forth divine inspiration, the truth of God. So Paul actually told us that prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, and that he said what? That we should desire the gifts, but especially what? That you would prophesy. Right? So this is a big deal. And he says it'll be poured out on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. But today we're looking at dreams. So what are the difference here between visions and dreams? A vision is an appearance divinely granted in a dream. Okay, so a vision is more like you see something specific, you see something tangible. You know, when you have a vision, it's usually like you can see a thing, an object, a person, an angel, you can see Jesus, whatever it is. It's that God allows you to see something specific, something that you wouldn't normally see. Probably this is most commonly going to be somebody speaking to you. A vision is more like a daydream type of state or a state where you're not completely asleep. Okay, that'd be a vision. A dream, on the other hand, is more like a sequence of images. Okay, it's more like a bigger story, a bigger thought process while you are asleep. It's more of a story form, longer, many pieces, more complex, more of a journey that shares a big picture, okay? So I just want you to see that God speaks through both of these, and we're going to see some of these in the scriptures today. A lot of times when it's a vision, it's an angel of the Lord appeared, right? Or something specific appeared, whereas the dreams would be something that was more of a story, more of a prophetic picture or something like that. And the word says that we, in the last days, will do these both. We will have visions, we will have dreams. God speaks through dreams, but the question comes to us is, do you recognize dreams as God speaking, and then do you understand them? So this is where we hope to get today. Job chapter 33, verse 14, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when the deep sleep falls upon men, when slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. This, in the book of Job, this is actually Elihu, and he's speaking to Job. And if you look at where Job is at this point in the story, by chapter 33, Job's in a pretty rough spot. He's got his faith, and that's about all that he's got, but he's kind of going back and forth with his friends and with his wife, and he's not in necessarily a real great place here. He's kind of more arguing with God than listening to God at points. And so this message here, what Elihu is trying to convey to Job, is he's saying that Job, God is speaking, right? He is speaking, but you can only hear him if you're actually going to listen. And he's saying, you know, Job, you may not recognize that God's trying to speak to you through dreams, or you may be ignoring that he's trying to speak to you through dreams, but God is speaking. And so it's this encouragement to open your ears, to listen, to try to discern. And I don't know about you guys, but if God's speaking to me, I don't want to miss it, right? If there's a way that God could be speaking to me, see, if you're like me at all, you're very practical, and you want to literally sit down, right? It's time for me to pray. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to say something to God, and I'm going to wait about 3 seconds, and he needs to speak back, like audibly, loud. I need to hear it. That's what I want. That's what I desire. But see, there's so many other ways that God tries to speak to us that sometimes we ignore those things because we're looking for a specific thing. So I just want to talk about dreams this morning. What are some ways that God speaks through dreams? We're going to look at some different biblical examples. One of the best things that God does through dreams is he gives us warnings. Matthew 2:12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. So this is the Magi as they went to seek Jesus. They followed the star, right? On the way there, they stopped by Herod's. Herod's like, hey, let me know where he's at because I want to worship him too. And so their plan at that point was probably to go back to Herod, right? That's what he wanted us to do, and we're going to go back and tell him. And they were divinely warned in a dream. I'm kind of curious what this looks like. There's, you know, at least 3 magi, okay? We know there's 3 gifts. That doesn't necessarily mean there was 3, probably, but maybe not. Did they all have the same dream? They each have a different dream? Did only one of them have the dream? We don't know. We know they were divinely warned in a dream. They were told, don't go back that way, because if you do, Herod will kill Jesus. You don't want to let Herod know Jesus' location. The next verse, Matthew 2, verse 13, says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So Joseph gets a little bit of a different warning, right? The Magi were told, do not do something. Do not go back over that way. This is a warning to you. It will cause harm basically for all of humanity, right? They didn't know that at the time, but it's like if you go back and you tell Herod, this is a history changer. This will ruin everything. They're told not to do something. Joseph is told to do something, actually for the same purpose. But see, one is told in a dream, warned, don't do this. One is warned, you better do this. Get out of town. These 2 instances. They were told to do these things, and they were told why, right? If you don't, if you do, right, Herod is going to destroy the child. You may not always get the why, right? In a warning, you may not always get the why. How many of you guys have ever been on the interstate on a long journey, going to Florida or, you know, Texas, you're going somewhere far, and unexpectedly, everybody stops. Road closure, flashers are on. Now, how many of you guys, the very first thing you want to know is why? Why is this happening? And in today's world, why didn't my GPS tell me early enough to take a different route? And it's like, it probably did. You probably weren't listening. Been there, done that. I'm like, that way's going to take me longer. I'm not doing that. Then all of a sudden, everybody stopped, right? You were probably warned, but you probably didn't listen. And then the very first thing you want to know is why, when you should have just listened to the warning. You could have went around, everything could have been good. God speaks to us through warnings in our dreams. Another way God speaks in our dreams is he gives us instruction. That's not necessarily warnings. It's not like critical. It's just, here's what I want you to do. Matthew 2, verse 19 and 20. Then when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. So he gets this instruction, right? This isn't a warning. It's a, everything's clear, you can head back, but as you head back, he actually gives him a little bit of direction. I don't want you to go to Judea. As you go to Israel, I don't want you to go back there. I want you to actually end up in Nazareth is where he goes. So sometimes you get a piece of the picture in one dream, and you might not get the other piece until later in another dream. And so I just want to show you here with Joseph, he had the one dream that was go, right? Warning, get out of here, flee. And then it was some time before he got the rest of the piece of the puzzle. He was probably like, okay, Lord, when do I get to go back? Aren't you curious maybe how many times he asked God that? Like, okay, this is cool, but I don't necessarily really like it in Egypt. You basically told us to get out of here once before. That didn't work out real well. When do I get to go back? And then a while later, another dream, instruction to go back. One of my favorite instructions through dreams is in Acts chapter 9. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So Saul of Tarsus is Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament epistles. And so Paul, it says, in the middle of this dream, this vision, it says, you need to go see Paul, who is right now praying, and he also has had a dream, and his dream's about you coming to where he's at, right? So we see like God's working two things at once here. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Jesus ascended and sent the Holy Spirit where he can minister to two people at the same time to bring something together? And so Ananias has this vision. Jesus tells him to go see Paul. Now, this one is awesome because this one actually takes both parties' obedience to actually carry out God's plan to do what they were called to do. And so what you got to think about is from Ananias' standpoint, he's told in a dream to do something he does not want to do. You guys realize that? He does not want to go see Paul because he knows Paul as the one who was murdering and imprisoning Christians, right? The zealot, the overzealous Pharisee who was imprisoning and killing all of the Christ followers, right? He was the religious nut. Right? He didn't care about anything. He thought he was doing good, but he was doing bad. And Ananias is like, why in the world, God, would I go and help him? Like, you've got to be out of your mind. I imagine you and me probably would have a similar discussion, wouldn't we, with the Lord? But he's told to go and do something that he doesn't want to do. This is what you need to know, is that dreams, even from God, when God is speaking to you, he doesn't always tell you to do something that you want to do. He tells you to do what is needed to be done. It may not be something that's pleasant. It may not be something that you want to do. I will promise you that it's not going to cause you harm. And I believe that's why Ananias went. He said, well, if this is God speaking to me, I got to at least trust that he has my best interest in mind, right? He's not going to cause me harm. The third reason or way that God speaks to us through dreams, it's for a change of heart. Matthew 27:19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, this is Pilate, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that man, Jesus, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. See, as Pilate is in this position of judging Jesus on behalf of the people, and Pilate's not even sure that Jesus is guilty. In fact, he's pretty confident that he's not, but Pilate's also worried about his own hide, right? Pilate's also worried about, if I don't do what these people want, they might kill me, and there's a lot of them. So Pilate is set to judge Jesus, and his wife has this dream. And his wife has this dream, and in this dream, she has this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. He is who he says he is, the exact reason that you're getting ready to judge him. And she says, "Husband, I have had a change of heart." Why? Because in this dream, I saw Jesus. In this dream, it says that I have suffered many things. That means that she really must have been tormented by this dream. Like you got to think, in that day, it wouldn't have been okay for her to go to her husband and be like, "Hey, what you're doing in your business life, husband, is not okay." Right? She very well could have been killed for that in those days. But she did it because she was tormented in this dream. Like, this is not right. This man is God, right? And I've got to stand up. I've got to do something. She had a change of heart. Another change of heart in Matthew chapter 1. Then Joseph, Mary's husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example out of her, was minded to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." I got to imagine that for Joseph, that day that he found out that Mary was pregnant was probably a lot like it would be for all of us in this room today. If a man's wife that he's engaged to, not even married yet, they have not been together, and all of a sudden she comes and says, "Guess what, honey, I'm pregnant." And you'd be like, "That can't be. That's not possible. And if you are, we have a real serious problem," right? I imagine we would react the same way today, maybe even worse. And so Joseph is in this place where he's like, "Well, I'm not marrying this woman," right? "She's done went and cheated on me. She won't even admit it to me, so I'm just going to..." I used to tell my kids whenever they were younger, when it says, "Put her away secretly," was he was going to hire the mob or something. That's not what it actually means. He's just going to, right, divorce her, so to speak, secretly. He's going to keep it behind the scenes. In that day, if someone had an adulterous relationship while they were already, like, engaged, I mean, they would get stoned, right? They would take them out and they would stone them. So he's like, "I'm going to put her away secretly, right? I still care about her. I still love her, but I can't be with this woman. Look at what she has done to me." And so this angel comes, right? I mean, this is amazing. Think about it. As he's thinking about this, as he's going through this in his mind, what he's going to do, it says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said, "No, Joseph, man, I know, as wild as this sounds, she's telling you the truth. It's the Holy Spirit has done this, right? It's going to be the Son of God. Like, no worries. This is actually going to be an amazing thing." And so Joseph, as he's getting ready to break it off with her, this angel comes and changes his heart for this situation. A couple other ways that I'm not going to get too deep into this morning that God speaks through dreams is we can have very prophetic dreams. And I'm going to give you a few of these that you can kind of look at on your own if you want to jot them down. But these prophetic dreams, what's amazing about these is these are pictures, right, of what's to come. These are the ones where it's like something pretty wild and pretty detailed is going to happen in your dream, and it might take a little bit of putting together a puzzle to figure it out. One of those would be like Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28, or Joseph's grain and stars in Genesis 37, or Pharaoh's cows and grain in Genesis 41, right? All these showed things of the future that were to come. Some of them, they knew what they meant when they had the dream. They woke up, like for Joseph, he knew what that meant with the grain and the stars bowing down to him, and he went and told his family, and it's what ended up getting him thrown in the pit and then sold off, and then it got his road to God's plan started. But He knew what it meant, but Pharaoh, on the other hand, had no idea what his meant. So those could be prophetic things. They could include warnings, instructions, change of heart. They could just include, here's what the future is. We can have interactive dreams. Listen, I know for some of you, you might be like, that is crazy to have an interactive dream. I want you to look at Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. When you get home, you can read through that. And it starts off in a dream where God says to Solomon, Solomon, what do you want? Right? He's like, he gives Solomon the blank check. What do you want, Solomon? Whatever you ask for, it's yours. This was in a dream, church. And Solomon says back to the Lord, he's like, I want wisdom, right? And God gave it to him. Solomon, we know, was the wisest man ever to live, okay? So that's an interactive dream. We have Abimelech and Sarah in Genesis chapter 20. That's a back and forth dream that Abimelech has about Sarah. If you don't know that story, that's when Abraham, one of the times that Abraham and his wife Sarah go somewhere and he's like, you're pretty hot, they're going to kill me and try to take you from me, so I'm just going to say you're my sister. Guys, really, really bad idea. Do not go somewhere and present your wife as your sister, because if they don't kill you, she probably will, okay? Rightfully so. Okay, so he does that a couple of times, and what happens is these guys like Abimelech are like, cool, that's your sister, she's single, she's coming with me. Right? And so then the Lord speaks to him in a dream and is like, listen, bud, you've already sinned against me by taking her, even though you haven't done anything with her, right? And so you better give her back real quick, and you better ask Abraham, of all people, to pray for you, that you'll be forgiven for sinning against me. So that's a back and forth dream. Cornelius and Peter in Acts chapter 10, another one where they each had a dream where they had to come together, and Cornelius' house was saved. This is an amazing one because this is the dream where God reveals to Peter that the Gentiles can be recipients of the gospel. That's us, right? Non-Jews. And so Cornelius is the first Gentile and his family to get saved. So a lot of ways that God speaks to us through dreams, and I just want to give you these biblical examples so we're not just building on just concepts. We're building on truths. Amen? Okay? So, how do we discern if a dream is real, if it's from God, or if it's just a dream, right? Because you can have a dream that is good, that seems like it's even a fruitful dream, like that could be good for my life, but it doesn't always necessarily still mean that it's God. How do we know if it's God speaking? There's got to be something we measure a dream against. And the very first thing, I got four tests for you to run a dream through. The very first test is the scripture test. And it's the most important dream. With every one of these ways that God speaks that we're looking at in this series, we started with scripture because it all comes back to scripture. If every one of these ways that God speaks, if it does not line up with scripture, it is not God speaking. Amen? You guys got that? Okay, so this is the most important test. Can I tell you this morning that a dream from God where he is speaking to you, it will not violate or disagree with what he has already said in his word. It will not, period. Like that's the end. If you ever think that it is, you just got to stop right there and rebuke it. Nope, that's not true. Like other forms of revelation, okay, other forms of God speaking, dreams are never, ever, ever intended to create doctrine. Right? They're never intended to be a new revelation that supersedes the word of God. This is how the Mormons got started, right? Joseph Smith had this dream. He had this new revelation. He actually wrote a book called Another Testament of Jesus Christ, right? And you know how tricky the Mormon church is because it's Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, right? So they put Jesus Christ in the name, so even a lot of Christians are just like, oh, they're one of us. No, they're a cult. Okay? And this is why. Because they let a dream be elevated above the word of God. Okay? That's it. Right there, you're out. The word of God is truth. And so Paul said, but even if we, right? So he's talking about that one of the apostles. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. Now, when you read that, you just think about, let him be cursed. That's pretty bad. But when you read that Greek word there, it actually means let him be damned. Let that person go to hell, is what Paul is saying, that they are not of God, right? They are not redeemed. They are not born again if they are preaching another gospel. And this is what happened with Joseph Smith with this dream that he elevated above the word. So if a dream from God tells you to do something contrary to the word of God, if you wake up and you're like, man, I had this dream that I'm supposed to divorce my wife and marry my neighbor, that's not God speaking, right? It's not. If you had this dream that, man, if I do this thing, it's a little bit of a shady business deal, but I mean, it probably won't really hurt anybody, and it's really going to make me rich, and I'll give 10% to the church. You know, I really feel like it's a God idea. No, it's not a God idea. Not if it's dishonest, not if it's stealing, not if it's manipulation, not if it's cheating, okay? If you really feel like you had a dream that you need to, you know, murder a coworker, and you're like, I really feel like that was a God-ordained dream because they've been on my nerves for a long time, I've been praying about it, and bam, I have a dream. Listen, it's against the word of God. It is not the voice of God. Don't murder your coworker, okay? Do you have a dream that tells you that there's another God, right? That there's another way to heaven? Listen, no, there's not. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and he's the only way to the Father. That's not the voice of God speaking in your life. If you have a dream that says, I don't need to go to church anymore because I can just worship on my own, listen, no, that's not God. God created us for community, right? There's a reason that the church is called the body of Christ, because we're supposed to operate together, amen? So that's not the voice of God if you hear things like that, okay? So dreams will not change or oppose Scripture. The second thing, and this is a pretty important one too, but again, it all builds off Scripture, is the character test. And this isn't necessarily about your character, it's about the character of the voice that you're hearing, okay? One of the keys to hearing the voice of God is knowing the difference between conviction and condemnation. Me and Bud were talking about this in Mark in an elder meeting on Friday. Conviction versus condemnation. Sometimes it seems like a really fine line, and we're not really sure which side that we're hearing. So I want to give you a few keys to this, okay? Conviction is about activity, and condemnation is about identity, okay? So conviction gives you something that you can do to solve the problem, and condemnation attacks your identity, attacks who you are, it attacks what you believe about yourself. It's no good. Conviction is specific, right? You should not be doing that. Stop it. Do this instead, right? Condemnation is usually very vague. You're bad. You're a bad boy, right? Like, if you treat your kids like that when they're growing up, right, if you just tell them, no, you're bad. You're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. How is their character going to be, right? Their identity. They're just going to feel down and beat up, like there's nothing I can ever do to please my parents. That's different than conviction, where it's like, do not touch that stove. It is hot. It will burn your hand. Stop touching it. Stop reaching for it, right? And that's kind of the difference between conviction and condemnation when we're looking at it spiritually as well. Conviction cuts to the heart but leaves hope for change, where condemnation strips us of hope for change. When we're dealing with condemnation, we begin to believe that the weight of our sin is so great that we will never be free. But the Holy Spirit shows us that when we're not living right, we can come to Christ, we can repent, and we can be restored. Amen? So these are some of the differences here between condemnation and conviction. And so when we have these dreams and we're thinking about how it affects us, how we wake up, what we're thinking about as we're reflecting on this dream, we need to filter it here through the character test, because if it's condemnation, if it just beats you up and makes you feel bad about yourself, that's not the voice of God, church. Listen, we were singing about the goodness of God, right? All our lives he's been faithful. He's good. He wants good for you. He doesn't want to beat you up and strip you of who you are. He wants to show you who you are in Christ. Amen? And so a dream that makes you feel hopeless is not of God. Ever, not one single time. It's from the enemy. And so we need to rebuke those and instead ask God to show us his heart. The third thing, and it might seem similar to the scripture test, but it's really not, is the Jesus test. Okay? We had the scripture test, the character test. Now I want to look at the Jesus test. In Deuteronomy, both in chapter 13 and 18, God gives us the key to recognize either a true or a false revelation. When discerning the source of a dream, we need to ask one main question. This dream that I just had, this revelation that I just had, does it point me to Jesus? Does it point me to Jesus, or does it point me to someone else? Does it point me to Jesus or to another God? Because we need to remember in Revelation, it tells us the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Therefore, all true revelation will lead us to him, right? So is it leading us to Christ? The fourth and final test is the light test. Maybe you guys know in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Say, none at all. Okay, there's no darkness in God. None. None at all. Zero. In him is light and only light. And so you need to know and understand that if God is speaking you to through a dream, it will not be a dream of darkness. It will not be a scary dream. It will not be a disturbing dream. It will not be a dream in a way that shakes you to your core where it causes fear and panic when you wake up. That's not God. He doesn't operate like that because he's not a God of darkness. He's a God of light, okay? So when we have those kind of dreams, listen, even in a warning dream, right? A warning dream could kind of disturb you a little bit because maybe instead of focusing on what you're supposed to do, you start to think about what could happen, right? I'm just telling you that when God gives you a dream, it's not going to be that darkness, that heaviness, that wickedness that we see sometimes in our dreams. This dream that Pilate's wife had, it sounds like a dream that was probably a little bit heavy, probably a little bit shook her a little bit, but it wasn't a dream of darkness, right? It was a dream of revelation of who Jesus was. And the reason she was shooken so much was not because it was scary. It was because she realized the wrong. It was conviction, right? It wasn't condemnation. It was conviction. And so when we think about these light tests, we need to think that even a warning or instruction, something that we don't want to do, it will not cause dark reactions if it's from God. God would never intend to bring fear upon us through our dreams, only the fear of God. That's it, which is a respect and a reverence and honor for him, for his holiness. So if you do wake up with a sense of urgency, right? If you wake up and you had a dream and you're just kind of, you're a little bit rattled and it feels kind of urgent, take a moment and pray about it right then, right there. Lord, what was that? Would you speak to me? Would you show me? Would you calm me? And if that's not of you, would you free me of that? If the dream's important, I can assure you that God will reveal to you what it is pretty shortly, okay? So the last thing I want to share here is the foundation of understanding dreams, of discerning our dreams. It always is going to come back to our relationship with Christ, right? That's what it always comes back to. Where's your relationship with him? As we draw closer to him, he'll reveal to us what is of him, what is not. You guys know people that have really great discernment, right? They just know. You're like, that's good or that's bad. That person's not who they present themselves to be. A lot of times, that's people that are pretty close to God, right? I mean, it can be a spiritual gift of discernment, but a lot of times, it's people that are pretty close to the Lord. If we approach dreams and spiritual experiences from a place of relationship with Christ, we'll find ourselves walking on safe, steady ground because God is good and he wants to speak to you through dreams. Amen? Okay, I'm telling you, you guys could come in and listen. Every single Thursday night, we pray for people to have dreams and visions. Why? Because we want people to hear from God. Amen? We want people. I want you. I want every one of you to hear from God. I pray that God gives you dreams tonight, visions tonight. If you have a dream, I do want to encourage you to write it down, right? Write it down and think about a few things, right? What did I see in this dream, right? Who was in this dream? What are the places that we went to? What are the objects that I saw? What are the activities that are going down? You need to write down as much detail as you can before you forget it. What was the message? Is this something simple and clear? Am I like Joseph and I understand the stars bowing down to me, as weird as that seems? Do I understand that? Or is this something I need to pray about and maybe seek some interpretation through another believer? Is it a warning for my life? Right? Am I headed toward danger and God's trying to prevent me from getting hurt or injured or embarrassed or ruining my life, making a poor decision? Is it a warning that God is trying to bring through? And maybe you guys have had the same dream over and over and over. And it's not a bad dream. It's just, I don't really know what it is. I guarantee that God's trying to speak to you through that. I don't know what he's trying to tell you. I don't know how you're going to get the answer. I just say first thing would be pray. Is he trying to give you instruction? Is there something that he wants you to do? Or do we need a change of heart? That's probably the hardest one for us. As believers, we think, I don't need a change of heart. My heart's good, right? I've given my heart to Jesus. I mean, sometimes we need a change of heart about things. Sometimes we need to see things from a different vantage point, and God tries to show us how we could just possibly be wrong, right? And maybe you guys have a hard time admitting that you could be wrong. It's okay. Sometimes God wants to show you. So this morning, as we close out in worship, I felt like we should do a couple of different things this morning. And listen, I don't have the answer to everything, and I want you to know, and Bud and Mark as elders can tell you this as well, that when we open up the altars for prayer at the end of the service, you're not coming up here relying on me. You're not coming up here relying on the worship team to pray emotional music. You're not coming up here to rely on one of the elders anointing you with oil or something like that. You're relying on the Holy Spirit to touch your life. Right? I don't have the power. It's not something that I possess. But I tell you what, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I as well as I can, I allow him to work through me. And I say, God, if something's going to happen here, it's got to be you. And so I know there's people that you have those dark dreams, right? You have those dreams where you're like, they're scary. And they bother you. You have trouble sleeping at night. If you're willing this morning, I want to pray over you. I want to pray for a release from those things, that the Holy Spirit would work in your mind, put you at peace. Listen, there's been people in this room that I've prayed over them with this stuff. I've even gone to their houses and anointed their bedrooms with oil. We will do that. Christy and I will come and we'll anoint your every room in your house, your bedposts, whatever it is that you want or we feel like we need to do, because we believe that God works through that obedience, okay? But a first step could be this today. If you want to do that in a private setting, we'll meet with you for that as well. So if you want that today, if you want me to pray for you with dreams of darkness, we'll do that. If you just want to pray for dreams, right? I don't know about you guys, but I go through seasons where I'm like, I know I dream every night, but I won't remember anything for months. You know, whereas as far as I know, I'm not dreaming, right? But we know that we are. If you want to be able to hear God's voice through dreams, if you want to, okay, Lord, I know that I'm dreaming. Would you help me to remember the ones that are important, the ones that are of you? I want to pray for you with those things. And then last but not least, if you've had some dreams that you just, I really need to know the meaning of this. It's been something that's been on my mind for years. I've had it over and over. I'm just going to pray for revelation. Pray that the Holy Spirit will show you, either through me or through somebody else, or show you yourself what those dreams mean. What is that for you? What are you supposed to be doing this morning? So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move in our hearts and lives, that today as we stand here in the natural, Lord God, we have to be open to the supernatural, and that's just simply the Spirit of God moving in our lives. And so we welcome that. We invite you. We surrender to you this morning. We ask you to have your way with us. Lord, put it on our hearts if we have a need this morning, if we should step forth. Lord, we want to hear your voice. My dream or my prayer over every person in this place would be that we would have dreams and visions, that we would hear your voice through them, that you would use them as a tool to, as Elihu said to Job, that you use it as that moment to open up the ears for us to hear the instruction of the Lord. In that moment where it's harder for us to fight back, It's harder for us to tune you out and tune into something else. Lord, would you speak to us while we sleep? We want to know you more. We praise you and we thank you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.